This is Data Citizens Dialogues, your guide to bringing trust to your data, decisions, and all things AI. For Calibra, I'm Thomas Brents.
Hey there, this is Data Citizens Dialogues, Calibra's peek into its customer community to hear what's new. And as you likely know, my name is Thomas Brents, and I'm the VP of Portfolio Marketing here at Calibra. If you're a longtime listener, you know that from time to time, we have other folks around Calibra interview our customers. As the podcast host, I want to bring you one of those such episodes. This one will feature Stan, our chief data citizen. Stan, who you all know and love, sat down in our Brussels office with Siemens AG. Just a few weeks back, we hosted an in-person interview at the office as part of our product premiere event. And if you haven't had an opportunity to attend an event at our offices, I highly recommend. Now, without further ado, I'll turn this over to Stan and the team at Siemens AG. I'll be back on in a few. Let's dive in.
Hi, Stan from Calibra. I'm really excited to be here with Axel. Thank you for sharing your experiences.
Yeah, sure. My name is Axel Frank. I'm working for Siemens for the internal IT department. I'm responsible together with my colleague Kevin for the data governance platform at Siemens, which is based on Calibra.
Thank you.
Yes, right. And we are the product owner for this platform. And we also take care for the whole operation stuff and also for developing the platform itself and so on.
Great. And Siemens, maybe some background about Siemens for the people who don't know Siemens. What should they imagine as a company?
Yeah, it's quite a huge company, more than 300,000 people working there, with a revenue close to 100 billion, I guess. So it's a quite huge company focusing on industrial automation, building infrastructure structure and mobility solutions like trains, high-speed trains, and so on. Yeah.
Very exciting. And of course, I'm trained as an engineer. I'm very familiar with Siemens' products in that sense. Now, I don't know, when you joined Siemens, what kind of challenges were you looking to overcome at that time?
Yeah, when I joined Siemens, funny-wise, the main problem was that we had to work with Windows 3.1. I
guess. Okay. So I remember those.
And the internet was not yet existing. But funny-wise, when I started at Siemens, I started in a department where we developed financial reportings. Mm-hmm. And we set up reportings for financial key figures and so on. And I can remember when we then brought these reports to the managers to check, here are our new reports. They said to us, okay, I don't believe you. These numbers are wrong, which you have reported.
Okay.
Then we said, okay, why? And then the question came up, where did you got these numbers? And, I don't trust these numbers. And now remember, 30 years later, what are we discussing in regards to data products, data governance?
The
same thing. It's how can we provide trusted data? Mm-hmm. How can we check the quality? Mm-hmm. Can we show the lineage? Where is it coming from? So funny-wise, it's completely the same topic after such a long time.
30 years and executives are still scrutinizing numbers that they're being
shown. It's getting better, I guess. Yeah. I mean, the trust comes down, but you need to do something for the trust. Right? Mm-hmm. You need to show this and show them where is it coming from, how is it computed, the key figures, the measures, and so on. And then when they trust, they completely rely on these numbers, but you have to do something for that.
Yeah, they have to, as an executive, it feels like they want to look under the hood a little bit.
Yep.
They're not going to touch it. They will just check if there's an engine that produces the trust for you.
They don't want to know this in detail, but they want to be trusted that it's the right thing. I mean, they do the business decisions based on such numbers.
Absolutely, and the trust is critical.
That's quite critical,
You mentioned data products.
Yep.
Which is a very popular topic in the market right now. For the last couple of years, it's been rising in importance from a variety of sources. We're also big fans of it. How do you see a data product, maybe all the way back in Windows 3.1, the financial report, was that a data product? What is one today? What's your view on that?
It was not a data product at this point of time. I mean, this was just reporting on technical level on tables from a database. also mainly driven by IT, finally. No? That's for me a huge differentiation in compared to today. No? A data product today in our environment comes mainly from the business side. Okay. It should cover a business need.
Okay,
and it should, of course, have characteristics like, I want to trust this one. And it's governed. There are responsibilities. No? There is a data product owner, and I have somebody who takes care of the quality and also that I can rely on this. And I have the transparency, where is the data coming from? And this is, for me, the main characteristics and the main advantages to have a data product today.
Absolutely. I like the fact that you said it needs to be the business owned. I mean, IT can always be involved, and
yep.
They can take care of certain technical challenges. But indeed, if there is no business associated, then the business need is unknown, and then value also becomes a question. So how do you look at a data product from the perspective of value? What makes a data product valuable versus not valuable?
Yeah, I think the value comes also by the usage, no? And the consumption. And a data product should not be only used by one party or by one system which consumes this. I mean, it only makes sense when a lot of other people or business users can reuse this, no? And then maybe also build new data products on top of it or whatever. Not it should be reusable. This is for me the main thing. And when everybody relies on these data products, you can also make sure that they use the single source of truth, no? And not the next Excel which comes from the site then, and things like this. No?
So you're saying, let's say, I'm just making a simple example, right? But let's say 300,000 people at Siemens, and they each have their own data product. That would not be valuable, of course, but
yep.
The complete opposite almost, where one data product exists and everybody's sourcing from it, that's also a little bit silly.
Yeah.
But the more the data product is used by different people, the more it gets valuable.
Yeah, and it should be quite specific. No? I mean, this is something which comes over the time, I guess. When you develop data products, you also need a kind of experience. No? We also have data products, I don't know, with 200 columns and not sure if this makes sense. No? Of course, you can cover most of the financial topics which such a product,
yeah.
But for specific needs, you can also cut this into smaller pieces. No? But
and maybe the bigger one with the tables is an interesting data product for a data scientist to train a model.
Yeah.
But somebody else maybe just needs the dashboards. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. I mean, when you have such an amount of columns and things, you also need to understand what do you really need. No? If you have 5 columns with revenue, I don't know, and there's different types of this, you need to know what to choose, and then it makes sense to set another one on top of it with the needed key figures, and that's it.
To simplify it.
Yeah.
Yes.
To simplify it.
Less detail for the higher-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they want more detail, it's always available, which is exactly what is giving them that trust, right? But let's talk a bit about data products and what you said about different people being able to use them and build on top of them. That means we need to share them a little bit.
Yep.
Which brings us to the concept of the data marketplace.
Mm.
Not necessarily the typical place for organizations to start. So what drove Siemens to start with a data marketplace?
Yeah, I think the main need was to have a single point where all the data products are available.
Mm-hmm.
They are. You can go to this marketplace, say, okay, here are my data products, divided into the several data domains like finance, sales, procurement, for instance.
Yeah.
And you see the description and you can request and everything happens. Then also the magic happens in the back end, in the background. You can also request for restrictions for several dimensions. Now, I only want to have the data product, the data for a specific fiscal year, for a specific division or company. And this will then also be handled by this marketplace. And then it's at least on our Snowflake data warehouse, we have it built in that way that it's fully automated. Then completely, you have an approver behind each of these dimensions. And then if this guy says, okay, he can get this data, then it's automatically deployed to the Snowflake system and then he can take this data out.
So I'm trying to imagine this, right? You're at Siemens, you just joined the organization, and I'm seeing a marketplace with like shelves, you know, the domains, finance and sales. So if I'm in finance or in engineering, I go to this part of the marketplace, I can look at all the data products that are available, and I say, okay, Axel is the owner of this data product, let's say. I want this. And as soon as this is approved, or maybe it's auto-approved, we turn to Snowflake and the access is automatically provisioned.
You get then access to a kind of Snowflake project where the access is deployed to, and then you can consume this and do whatever you want in this. Yeah.
So data products, popular topic, maybe a less popular topic, but a favorite topic of mine is governance. So imagine data products with and without governance. Why would it be needed?
Yeah, for us, the data product or the governance in data products, I see several dimensions. I mean, one is to generate the trust.
Yeah.
And for the product or for the data inside the product. And the other thing is also ensure certain kind of assessments and clarifications in regards to security, legal things, and export control, for instance, is a topic on our end. So just to make sure that if you distribute this data, that everything is clarified, how is it allowed to share the data and so on. And that is for us also a very important topic.
Right. So a data product plus governance means you're making sure that compliance is being handled. You're making sure that control is in place. And then, as we were discussing earlier with the Windows 3.1, financial scrutiny from the higher-ups. Ultimately, data governance provides trust on that data product so that if they want to open the engine, they feel comfortable. Okay, this is all set. The security is there. The compliance is there. I trust this data product. I'm going to start it to make my decisions.
That's the goal. Yep.
Thank you very much. And we'll see what your colleague Kevin says about all of this.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back, everyone. We were just speaking with Axel earlier. It's a little bit how Siemens handles data products and data marketplaces. But Kevin, what we want to do with you is dig deeper into that topic.
Sounds great. So yeah, I work at Siemens now for almost 8 years, and I've really started at the bottom. So really as a data scientist, where you got a hypothesis that you had to evaluate, where you had to get data, combine everything, and get to a final conclusion. Then all the way to different topics where we had to develop data platforms. And then I think my last step in the journey at the moment is the owner of a data governance platform with Axel together, really driving a few of the topics in terms of data governance. We really try to bring in ideas, steer the organization, and make sure everyone adopts these ideas.
Probably along the way you saw, and you know this, everybody who deals with data knows this, working with data can sometimes feel like probably wrestling with a pig. It gets muddy and messy. And maybe that's the reason why you started going into that governance direction, because you realized maybe that there's the organizational structure that was missing behind making the data less muddy but more valuable. So what drove the start of governance? Was there a specific moment that you can remember?
I think there was not a specific moment, but I think there were a few stages on the way. So I remember when we introduced a data lake in the company, and we were like, okay, pretty cool. Now we collect all of the data in one place and it's going to be so much easier, right? But just having data in one location doesn't solve a lot of the issues that you have, right? You might have everything in one place, but that doesn't mean you know where it is or is it trustworthy in these kind of things, right? So then we, from that time where we figured out, okay, having everything in one location, we came to the conclusion, okay, we massively need to change what we do. And I think that came along with a huge program within the department where we said, okay, we want to change the technology, but we also want to fundamentally change how we interact and how we work with data. And then I think the idea of data mesh came into play,
right?
Data products, and I think that also drove a little bit the idea of governance, right? And so yeah, this is where we're at. I think where we started with all of this, and really had to improve on the ways we work.
Yeah. So not a single lightning strike, like somebody from compliance saying we need governance here now, but rather the traditional situation that many organizations, I think, this mythical one place to put all of your data, right? A data lake in the cloud, a data warehouse. You know, many organizations try to put all of their data in one place. And what you're describing is that as you were doing that, you realize, okay, now it's all together, but now you're just seeing all of the problems that come from the data, and then you started moving up and saying, okay, to do this properly, let's identify data products, let's set up some process, some ownership, some governance. So very recognizable pattern. Maybe we talked earlier with Axel about the data marketplaces. Now, a lot of times people don't start with data marketplaces, but to your point, they start with their data lakes, all the data is one place, and then it's like, what data do we have here? And then they start saying, okay, let's put a catalog on top so we know what's in this one place. And then typically, you know, that evolves into, does the catalog become a data marketplace? Is this a similar situation that happened for you?
Well, actually, I think it's a little bit different because we had a few separate endeavors within the company to have a data marketplace, but nothing central. And we had the idea, okay, we needed data products in order to, well, I mean, when you have a data catalog, you start with millions of assets somewhere, right? That's not going to be easy for you. But having the idea of data products in a marketplace where you have more curated data, more tailored towards the use case, and then, so again, we had both of them separately. And realized, okay, both of them really make sense together.
So you're saying the data catalog is sort of an idea of all these assets out there, many, too many, whereas in the marketplace, it's more about thinking who's going to be using this or consuming this and for what purpose, the use case.
Right.
So it's almost like a different way of looking at the same technology, but thinking more about the consumers, the customers of the data, rather than only the ones that put it in the lake in the first place.
Absolutely. And I mean, a catalog by itself, especially the way we started, had really a pure technical perspective to this. Whereas bringing in data products in a marketplace also adds a very business focused perspective to everything.
Yeah, which is what you need, because as we were discussing earlier with Axel, if the data is only done by the IT, then you're missing all the business value, which comes from the business stakeholders.
Absolutely.
Now, I can imagine when you started engaging with the business stakeholders, Kevin, and saying, hey, you know, people, I think we need some governance here. Maybe you become very popular overnight, right? Because everybody loves the big G word. So, you know, how did you... you know, help people understand and adopt that need for governance. Any tips or tricks for the audience?
Well, I think there's two perspectives to this. So one is when we started off with cataloging solutions and so on, back then it was really a bottom-up approach. And I think a bottom-up approach really is difficult to convince everyone. However, with the many changes that we had in the company, so there were things like we proclaimed to be a data-driven company. So this was putting data from being a side node to becoming the center stage, right? The other thing was the introduction of data mesh.
Right.
And another, and I think this is a very, very popular concept in the company right now, is the idea of having, or the idea of shareless. So the idea really is you have to share your data.
Okay.
Unless there's a good reason, for example, a legal reason not to, right? And these things altogether put data in our company really at the center stage.
Yeah. So data is at the center stage, but then are people accepting I have to take on some responsibility here?
Right.
How did that message come across? Because typically if you say, hey, you become a data owner or a data product owner, people throw up their hands and they say, I already have enough work to do.
Right.
So how did you get them to ease into that? I mean, data is now the center stage.
Right.
What about the responsibility?
Well, I think again, so coming from bottom up to top down helped a lot. And then the other thing is what we really do is for everything that we do, we find willing people that join us with intrinsic motivation.
Yeah.
And then we have a few cases with proper business value that we can show to the others.
Yeah.
And this really makes them want to follow along.
Yeah.
And also follow the route and take the same journey.
Yes. So the bottom up and then the power of top down, that always helps, of course. And you sort of look for low-hanging fruit people first. People who already love data, maybe are passionate about it. They're passionate about the project or they really need it. And you engage with them first, making them into heroes to help How do you measure all of this? Are there specific goals tied to that or specific measurements? Like, are you tracking hero by hero on a counter? How do you measure that you're making progress in the organization?
I think there are multiple levels to this. So one is, I think, on a very organizational level.
Right.
If we talk about data management, I think the ultimate goal for us is to achieve value with data, right? And there's multiple things like, how would you measure this? In the beginning, you say, okay, for example, from my hypothesis to my answer, how much time passes, right?
Right.
Before, nobody knew where the data is, how to get access and so on. That question really could take months, right? And if we get this down to maybe days, I think this would be a huge benefit.
So speed.
Speed, yeah, yep. Absolutely. Then the other thing is, of course, data products is for us a huge, indicator. Mm-hmm. For a lot of the data governance endeavors in our case. So the number of products, right. The number of consumers,
yeah.
What use cases are fulfilled by these consumers,
right.
Or by these consumptions. That is another thing. So this is more on a high level. And then I think if we go down to how we implement on a technical level the tools for governance, we have regular interviews, regular feedback sessions.
Okay.
We measure net promoter scores also over time.
Okay.
These kind of things are really helpful, I think, and gives you a good understanding of where you move next or have to move next.
Okay, so let me see if I can summarize this properly, right? You have organizational metrics, hypothesis to value is now faster, right? So that's clear measurements you can make. You had measurements around the data products and how many people are using them, but you're pulling that all the way forward to use cases and how it is being used to deploy certain parts of the business, I assume. So you measure from data product to value. And then you said on the technical level, this is more around, are people understanding the tool? This is like the net promoter score to see, did I set it up correctly or should we provide more training or stuff like that?
Yeah, not only understanding the tool, but also do they get value out of it?
Yeah.
Like if we realize, okay, they come to the tool and they get value out of it, that's great, right?
No, I like that a lot. And by the way, questions around measurement are always very popular. It's a continuous challenge for data folks to really translate their work into measurable value. So thank you for sharing your approach. If you look at it, and if you look at data products, what do you think the next 5 or 10 years will look like? What's your guess?
So I'm not sure if I can make a 10-year prediction.
Me neither.
Thinking of like how old is ChatGPT, how old is data products in our organization, which both of them is pretty new, I think. Yeah. So a 10-year prediction is going to be difficult. But I think the combination of both, coming from, okay, we now build data products specifically for humans to building data products to be consumed by AI agents.
Right. Yeah.
To maybe data products even built by AI. And then I think the latest stage, when we combine both things, I could imagine it's like AI self-healing data products. So really being able, okay, you have quality issues self-healed by data. You have your data product, which is a little bit off topic. Okay, you automatically add new columns, new content to a data product, these kind of things.
So data products, not just for people, but also for AI, by AI, by agents, and then that last concept, that's definitely the most futuristic self-healing data products. I love it. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Same.
Okay, that was really cool. I love Stan's energy and the team at Siemens AG are just so insightful, so helpful to our audience. And I'm glad that we had the opportunity to capture this interview. I want to outline the three big things that I learned. First, data products are irrelevant if they don't correspond to business needs. Modern data products are distinct from traditional reports. They are primarily driven by business needs, owned by business stakeholders, and designed for reusability across the organization to ensure a single source of truth and maximize value. Second, the data marketplace is a non-traditional place to start, but it helps drive data product adoption. Data products, they gain value as more people from different teams use that data product. That's why Siemens started with the data marketplace so everyone could access data products across the entire org. And lastly, governance should be driven by value and adoption. Data governance adoption is fostered by top-down support, identifying willing early adopters, and demonstrating tangible business value, rather than solely focusing on the technical implementation. Now, I have to thank both our Siemens AG speakers, Axel and Kevin, and of course, a special shout out to Stan, who is always happy to meet with our customers and record a podcast. And if you're interested in being on the show, let us know. And even if you don't want to be on it, I still thank you for listening. Like, subscribe, and we'll see you next time. And for Calibra, this is Data Citizens Dialogues, and I'm Thomas Brentz. Thank you for listening. Want even more insight into managing your data? Visit calibra.com/podcast for additional resources on the topics covered in our show. Be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Enjoy what we have to share? How about a 5-star review? At Calibra, we absolutely appreciate your support. Data Citizens Dialogues is a production of Calibra in collaboration with Stories Bureau.